Have you ever said, I wish I could? And then perhaps it could be something like, I wish I could play the violin like Yehudi Menuhin, Vanessa May, or Nicola Benedetti. Or, I wish I could make cakes like Mary Berry. Or, I wish my talents for DIY were so good that I could turn them into a career so that I could help improve people's homes, my own home, or transform derelict properties. I wish I could. In order for those wishes to become reality, there are a number of hurdles to overcome. Hard decisions to be made, money to be saved and spent. Time to be set aside in order that we can achieve our desires. We would need, in those examples, to buy a violin, cooking utensils or tools. We would need to take lessons, probably many, many lessons. We would need to set aside a huge amount of time to practice and perfect our craft. We might need to lay down some of our other activities in order to have the time to devote to our chosen pastime or potential career, and thereby incur the ridicule of others and possibly the wrath of our families and friends. Whatever we do, and particularly when we set ourselves a challenging goal, we have to count the cost first. When Jesus was speaking to a large crowd, as described in our second reading that Joyce read this morning, he warned them about the cost of being one of his disciples and about the cost of giving him their first loyalty. In earlier chapters in Luke's Gospel, Jesus had been talking to his followers about the kingdom of God, and at a Pharisee's house, he described the kingdom as being like a great banquet to which many were invited. In his parable of the great banquet, Jesus described how the guests had been invited to share the wonderful feast. But when receiving their second invitation to actually come to the party that was about to start, when all was ready, they gave lame excuses. One had bought a field and had to go and view it. Would you buy a field without viewing it first? One had bought 5 yoke of oxen and had to try them out. Wouldn't you think he'd have tried out the oxen before buying them? Another had just got married and had to stay at home. Would they never go out again? The excuses were indeed lame and just indicated that the invited guests didn't want to come to the party. So the angry party giver sent out his servants to invite more, even from the country lanes and byways. The parable was intended to shake up Jesus' listeners. The party was for all, Jews and Gentiles, the elite and the outsiders. All were invited to be part of the kingdom of God. It might sound from this that entering the party or the kingdom is therefore easy. Just accept the invitation from the party giver. On one level it is, because we can't earn our way into the kingdom. We can only accept the invitation graciously given. The price of the entry ticket has already been paid by the party giver's son, Jesus. He paid the entry price on the cross. All we can do is to accept that graciously given gift. But there is a cost to continuing to follow, and this is what Jesus was warning his listeners about. And it's something that we need to take into consideration too. When we accept God's invitation to the kingdom, we need to consider the implications for the rest of our lives. We need to count the cost. How will following the way of the kingdom impact on our pockets, purses and bank accounts? How can we give to God's kingdom work? Or will we just wish we could? How will following the way of the kingdom impact on our time? Will we consciously set aside time to serve and to pray? Will we decide to drop something else in order to make time to serve and to pray? Or will we just wish we could? How will following the way of the kingdom impact on the way we use our gifts and talents? Will we lay them before God and ask him to use and develop them for his glory? Or will we just wish we were as gifted as someone else in the church and decide not to use our gifts at all? How will following the way of the kingdom impact on our relationships with family, friends or neighbours? Are we prepared to face criticism or even ridicule for our faith? Or do we make excuses and fit in with the crowd? When Jesus told his followers to hate their father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, he was using exceptionally strong language there. But he wasn't literally saying that they should hate them in the way that we understand hate. After all, Jesus had already called on his listeners to love their enemies and not hate them. That's in Luke chapter 6. Jesus was, as he often did, using exaggerated language, hyperbole, to make it clear that following the way of God's kingdom should be our first priority. There is an urgent task to be done in telling other people about the kingdom of God, so we mustn't be hampered by anything that might hold us back. We must be ready even to give our own lives. That's what taking up our cross and following Jesus means. Jesus took up his cross, and we know where that led, to punishment and death. Obedience is costly. So in order to continue our journey in the kingdom, let's take the opportunity to examine our desires and motives for following Jesus. Are we giving him our first loyalty, or are we half-hearted? Let's look to Jesus and learn from his wholehearted approach to serving God and growing the kingdom of God. Jesus gave up his place in heaven in order to come to earth and bring mankind back into a relationship with God through his death on the cross. He was lifted up on the cross as the bronze snake was lifted up in the wilderness when the Jewish people had exited Egypt. And that bronze snake was to be looked at so that God's children could look at it and be saved. And we can look to Jesus on the cross and be saved. There is no other way to enter the kingdom. There is no better way to serve God and his kingdom than to follow Jesus through obedience and wholehearted devotion, regardless of the cost. Let us determine that we will open ourselves to God's transformation, for him to mould us as a potter would mould clay. Let us, in the strength of Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, turn our desire to follow him into reality and follow the way of the cross. Amen.